Biomes. Section 3. Grassland, desert, and tundra biomes. In areas with too little precipitation for large trees to survive, the biomes are dominated by smaller plants. Where there is almost no rainfall at all, few plants can grow, and we find desert. Thus, warm areas with little precipitation are characterized by savanna and desert biomes. Temperate areas have grassland, chaparral, and desert biomes, and cold areas have tundra and desert biomes. Savannas. Parts of Africa, western India, northern Australia, and some parts of South America are covered by grassland called savanna. A savanna is a tropical biome dominated by grasses, shrubs, and small trees. As Figure 16 shows, rain falls mainly during the wet season, which lasts for only a few months of the year. This is the only time that plants can grow. The plants support an amazing variety of herbivores, such as antelopes, giraffes, and elephants, as well as the predators that hunt them, cheetahs, lions, and hyenas, for example. Plants of the savanna. Because most of the rain falls during the wet season, plants must be able to survive prolonged periods of time without water. During the dry season, plants lose their leaves or die down to the ground. When the rain returns, they start to grow again. Many plants have large horizontal root systems, so they can draw water from as large an area as possible. The coarse savanna grasses have vertical leaves that expose less of their surface area to the hot sun to further help the grasses conserve water. Some trees of the savanna also lose their leaves during the dry season to conserve water. Trees and shrubs often have thorns or sharp leaves that keep hungry herbivores away. Animals of the savanna. Grazing herbivores, such as the elephants shown in Figure 17, have adopted a migratory way of life. They follow the rains to areas of newly sprouted grass and watering holes. Some predators follow and stalk migratory animals for food. Many savanna animals give birth only during the rainy season, when food is most abundant and the young are more likely to survive. Also, some species of herbivores eat vegetation at different heights than other species do. For example, small gazelles graze on grasses, black rhinos browse on shrubs, and giraffes feed on tree leaves. Temperate grasslands. Temperate grassland covers large areas of the interior of continents where there is moderate rainfall, but still too little for trees to grow. The prairies in North America, the steppes in Asia, the veldt in South Africa, and the pampas in South America are temperate grasslands. Their locations are shown in Figure 18. Two examples of temperate grasslands are shown in Figure 19. Mountains often play a crucial role in maintaining grasslands. For example, in North America, rain clouds moving from the west release most of their moisture as they pass over the Rocky Mountains. As a result, the short grass prairie just east of the Rockies receives so little rain that it looks almost like a desert. The amount of rain increases as you move east, which permits the growth of taller grasses and some shrubs. Grassland plants dry out in the summer, so lightning strikes often start fires. Plants of temperate grasslands. Temperate grassland vegetation consists of grasses and wildflowers. Although there is only a single layer of vegetation, many species may be present. Shrubs and trees grow only where the soil contains extra water, usually on the banks of streams. The root systems of grassland plants form dense layers that survive drought and fire. Figure 20 shows how the heights of grasses and the depths of their roots vary. Grasslands are highly productive because of their fertile soil. The summer is hot and the winter is cold, so the plants die back to their roots in the winter. Low temperatures in the winter slow decomposition. As a result, the rate at which dead plants decay is slower than the rate at which new vegetation is added each year. Over time, organic matter accumulates in the soil. This means that grasslands have the most fertile soil in the world. Most grasslands have been converted to farmland for growing crops such as wheat and corn. Animals of temperate grasslands. Grazing animals, such as pronghorn antelope and bison, have large, flat back teeth for chewing the coarse prairie grasses. Other grassland animals, such as badgers, prairie dogs, and burrowing owls, live protected in underground burrows, as shown in Figure 21. The burrows shield the animals from fire and weather and protect them from predators on the open grasslands. Threats to temperate grasslands. Farming and overgrazing have changed the grasslands. Grain crops cannot hold the soil in place as well as native grasses can because the roots of crops are shallow and the soil is plowed regularly, so soil erosion eventually occurs. Erosion is also caused by overgrazing. When grasses are constantly eaten and trampled, the grasses cannot regenerate or hold the soil. This constant use can change fruitful grasslands into less productive, desert-like biomes. Chaparral. Temperate woodland biomes have fairly dry climates, but receive enough rainfall to support more plants than a desert does. One type of temperate woodlands consists of scattered tree communities made up of coniferous trees, such as piñon pines and junipers, as shown in Figure 22. The chaparral is a temperate shrubland biome that is found in all five parts of the world with a Mediterranean climate. These areas have moderately dry, coastal climates with little or no rain in the summer. Look at the famous white letters that spell Hollywood across the California hills in Figure 23. Now imagine the scrub-covered settings common in old westerns. Both of these landscapes are part of the chaparral biome. As shown in Figure 24, chaparral is located in the middle latitudes, about 30 degrees north and south of the equator. Plants of the chaparral. Most chaparral plants are low-lying evergreen shrubs and small trees that tend to grow in dense patches. Common chaparral plants include chamise, manzanita, scrub oak, olive trees, and herbs such as sage and bay. These plants have small, leathery leaves that retain water. The leaves also contain oils that promote burning, which is an advantage because natural fires destroy trees that might compete with chaparral plants for light and space. Chaparral plants are so well adapted to fire that they can re-sprout from small bits of surviving plant tissue. Animals of the chaparral. A common adaptation of chaparral animals is camouflage, which is shape or coloring that allows an animal to blend into its environment. Animals such as quail, lizards, chipmunks, and mule deer have a brownish-gray coloring that lets them move through the brush without being noticed. Threats to the chaparral. Worldwide, the greatest threat to chaparral is human development. Because chaparral biomes get a lot of sun, are near the oceans, and have a mild climate year-round, humans tend to develop the land for commercial and residential use. Deserts. When some people think of a desert, they think of the hot sand that surrounds the Egyptian pyramids. Other people picture the Sonoran Desert and its mighty saguaro cactuses, or the magnificent rock formations of Monument Valley in Arizona and Utah. Many kinds of deserts are located throughout the world, but one characteristic that they share is that they are the driest places on Earth. Deserts are areas that have widely scattered vegetation and receive very little rain. In extreme cases, it never rains and there is no vegetation. The distribution of Earth's deserts is shown in Figure 25. Even in hot deserts near the equator, there is so little insulating moisture in the air that the temperature changes rapidly during a 24-hour period. The temperature may go from 40 degrees Celsius or 104 degrees Fahrenheit during the day to near freezing at night. Deserts are often located near mountain ranges, which block the passage of rain clouds. Plants of the desert. All desert plants have adaptations for obtaining and conserving water, which allow the plants to live in dry desert conditions. Plants called succulents, such as cactuses, have thick, fleshy stems and leaves that store water. Their leaves also have a waxy coating that prevents water loss. Sharp spines on cactuses keep thirsty animals from devouring the plant's juicy flesh. Rainfall rarely penetrates deeply into the soil, so many plants' roots spread out just under the surface of the soil to absorb as much rain as possible. Many desert shrubs drop their leaves during dry periods and grow new leaves when it rains again. When conditions are too dry, some plants die and drop seeds that stay dormant in the soil until the next rainfall. Then new plants quickly germinate, grow, and bloom before the soil becomes dry again. Some desert plants have adapted so that they can survive even if their water content drops to as low as 30% of their mass. Water levels below 50 to 75% are fatal for most plants. Animals of the desert. Reptiles, such as Gila monsters and rattlesnakes, have thick, scaly skin that prevents water loss. Amphibians, such as the spadefoot toad, survive scorching desert summers by estivating, burying themselves in the ground and sleeping through the dry season. Some animals, such as the elf owl shown in Figure 26, nest in cactuses to avoid predators. Desert insects and spiders are covered with body armor that helps them retain water. In addition, most desert animals are nocturnal, which means they are active mainly at night or at dusk when the air is cooler. Tundra. The tundra biome is located in northern Arctic regions, as shown in Figure 27. The winter is too cold and dry to permit the growth of trees in this biome. In many areas of the tundra, the deeper layers of soil, called permafrost, are permanently frozen throughout the year. As a result, the topsoil is very thin. In the summer, when the thin topsoil layer thaws, the tundra landscape becomes quite moist and spongy and is dotted with bogs. These wet areas are ideal breeding grounds for enormous numbers of swarming insects, such as mosquitoes and black flies, and for the many birds that feed on the insects. Vegetation of the tundra. Figure 28 shows the Alaskan tundra in the summer. Mosses and lichens, which can grow without soil, cover vast areas of rocks in the tundra. The soil is thin, so plants have wide, shallow roots to help anchor them against the icy winds. Most flowering plants of the tundra, such as campion and gentian, are short. Growing close to the ground keeps the plants out of the wind and helps them absorb heat from the sunlit soil during the brief summer. Woody plants and perennials, such as willow and birch, have evolved dwarf forms and grow flat or grow along the ground. Animals of the tundra. Millions of migratory birds fly to the tundra to breed in the summer. Food is abundant in the form of plants, mollusks, worms, and especially insects. Caribou, shown in Figure 29, migrate throughout the tundra in search of food and water. Wolves roam the tundra and prey on caribou, moose, and smaller animals, such as lemmings, mice, and hares. These animals burrow underground during the winter, but they are still active. Many animals that live in the tundra year-round, such as Arctic foxes, lose their brown fur and grow white fur that camouflages them with the winter snow. These animals are also extremely well insulated. Threats to the tundra. The tundra is one of the most fragile biomes on the planet. Its food chains are relatively simple, so they are easily disrupted. Because conditions are so extreme, the land is easily damaged and slow to recover. Until recently, the tundra was undisturbed by humans. But oil has been located in some tundra regions, such as in northern Alaska. Oil exploration, extraction, and transport has disrupted the habitats of the plants and animals in many parts of the tundra. Pollution caused by spills or leaks of oil and other toxic materials may also poison the food and water sources of the organisms that live in the tundra. You've reached the end of this chapter. Before moving on, review the main points of the section by reading the summary. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions. Your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the lab exercise on the following pages. The chapter review and standardized test preparation will give you additional practice using what you've learned.